An animated book opens and a city block rises from its blank pages. A low view moves down a main street, settling outside a movie theater. Illuminated by blinking lights, the marquee reads, Amazon Studios. Over black, golden lines form a logo resembling a letter S with a G inside it. Stay Gold features. White lines streak into view, creating the word automatic. Blurred words slowly come into focus. Delirio Films. Amazon Studios presents, in association with Stay Gold Features, Kindred Spirit, and Red Crown Productions, an Automatic and Delirio production. A short-haired young man stands in front of smoking airplane wreckage. He stares ahead, shifting his weight. The man looks up and becomes alarmed.
No!
Explosions erupt from several directions and the man flies backward. The smoke clears, revealing the man hanging from stunt rigging on a movie set.
And cut!
A crew member holds a clapperboard.
And marker?
The slate reads, 2005. Two men help lower the short-haired actor to the ground. More crew members extinguish the flames throughout the elaborate movie set. It includes a giant wrecked plane and other vehicles. The actor waits patiently as a crew member handles the cable attached to the front of his harness. Together, they slowly step forward. The crew member coils the cable. More cables extend from the back of the actor's harness to the tall rigging equipment behind him. The short-haired young actor spits, then gets back into position. The crew member hands off the coiled cable and walks away. The actor stares straight ahead, waiting.
Y'all don't really know why.
Wearing a body harness, the short-haired actor makes his way across a movie set. He wipes his dirty neck. A blonde actress smiles at him. Glimpses show the young actor filming various scenes. Shirtless on a dark set, the actor chokes a man as other men look on. A crew member claps a slate. Wearing a striped prison uniform, the actor climbs into a dimly lit tunnel with a child on his back. A steadicam operator moves ahead of them. Wearing the harness, the actor enters his trailer and takes off his shoe. A glimpse shows him going for a run. In his trailer, he struggles to reach for the back of the harness. He drinks straight from a bottle of liquor. On another set, he vomits.
Take moms with me and a few eight decks and make a song about that and tell pops is a rat.
Need some help.
In the trailer, he struggles with his harness and chugs liquor. In a scene, he gets arrested against a police car. He breaks a bottle in his trailer, then steps on a shard of glass. He films a scene in a bathtub with a woman. In his trailer, the blonde actress unhooks his harness and they make out. Driving with her, the actor drops his cigarette. A glimpse shows him being thrown into a jail cell. A car slams into the actor's vehicle. The car flips upside down with him and the blonde inside. With blood on his head and an injured hand, the short-haired actor climbs out of the wrecked vehicle. Now, the blonde sits against the car and talks on the phone. An officer slams the actor against a police vehicle.
Don't fucking touch me, don't fucking say this shit! What am I being arrested for? What am I being arrested for, huh? You think you're fucking...
He sits in the back seat.
Hot shit! Cause you don't know how good I am at what I do!
In a jail cell.
Why am I here? Come on, answer the fucking question! Answer the damn question, you fuck! You dumb fuck! Why am I here? Why am I here? Answer the question!
Glimpses show the actor sitting calmly in his cell, then staring off outside. He rides in a car driven by a red-haired woman. He enters the lobby of a building and looks around. Seated on a bench, a dark-haired man knits. The actor exchanges a look with him. Other people knit as well. The actor follows the redhead up a staircase. Now he stands naked behind a curtain partition, covering his crotch with his hands. An employee searches the actor's belongings. The redhead shows him the facility.
There are no guards on the premises, Otis.
I noticed.
Since this is your third drunken altercation with the police, If you leave, we will have to notify the judge, and you will serve those 4 years.
He meets with a therapist.
Right.
So where do we start?
I don't know, boss. You tell me. I'm obviously not equipped to make any decisions. I'm an egomaniac with an inferiority complex.
Otis enters a room with two beds.
Let's try again.
How about I'm a professional schizophrenic? What do you want me to say? I'm a piece of shit.
He shakes the dark-haired man's hand.
I want you to write an account of your memories so we can get you started with some imaginal exposure.
What's that?
It's a simple way to stop avoiding trauma reminders that get you triggered.
I avoid trauma reminders? My whole work's required, motivated by trauma reminders.
I'm talking about triggers that make your distress levels unmanageable and result in violence.
Like what?
Well, whatever makes you angry, that's a good place to start.
Otis scratches his head.
Otis, I've been doing this a long time. I saw your tests, and you have clear signs of PTSD.
No, I don't. From what?
Honey boy. Now a curly-haired boy stands in front of a dark background, staring straight ahead. In slow motion, he shuts his eyes and a pie smashes into his face. The boy flies backwards, swinging his arms and legs. Production lights turn on, revealing the backdrop of a house with a white picket fence. The boy hangs from a harness and stunt rigging. A crew member claps a slate which reads, 1995. Crew members lower the boy to the ground. Whipped cream covers his face and part of his shirt. A crew member guides the child actor back into his starting position. The curly-haired boy wipes some whipped cream off his eye, then stares straight ahead. Wearing a body harness, the boy crosses a soundstage while wiping his hair with a towel. A woman hands him a portable CD player and he puts on the headphones. Crew members roll a backdrop of a beach past the curly-haired boy as he walks. The boy continues past a craft services table. He grabs a snack. A man glances at him.
Nice pie fight, Otis.
Otis continues on, passing an open doorway leading outside. In a room with chairs set up by monitors, a bespectacled man with shoulder-length hair chats with a woman. Otis approaches the man.
I had a chicken named Henrietta the Fowl, the world's first daredevil chicken.
Dad, can you loosen the back part?
And I used to know, because all chickens, what do you need me to do?
Just loosen the back part.
Okay, one sec. So I had this chicken, I used to put her on my head, and I'd do these cartwheels, and she'd run from my head to my butt, from my head to my butt, over and over like that. Because I spend a lot of time with chickens, you know, in the rodeo.
Loosen
you know,
it.
Had another trick where I put the chicken on top of my head. Here, I found it. And I'd run this little electrical wire down my sleeve to her, put a little KFC bucket out there, light it on fire for drama. And I'd hit that Charlton Henrietta fly off my head, land in that bucket. Hey, old crowd ate it up. I'm telling you, it was a big deal. Yeah, it was good. Once over for Stevie Nicks, she came out to the forum.
Ow! Fuck, Dad!
The woman looks alarmed.
What do we say about talking like that?
Otis glances down. His father eyes him sternly.
That I'm not supposed to.
That you're not supposed to talk like that. And you're going to apologize to Pam, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, you are.
I'm very sorry, Pam. It's okay.
Now go hang up your wardrobe. Thank Donna for the date.
Yes, Daddy.
You had a good day otherwise.
Yes, Daddy.
Spent a lot of time with chickens. And in all that time, you know what I've learned about them? You know what the white spot is in the center of chicken poop? Do you know what that is?
No, what is that?
That's chicken poop also.
He shimmies his shoulders as he grins at her.
It's pretty good, isn't it? Hey, yeah. You got a phone number?
Yeah.
Can I get it from you?
Later?
Later? Maybe tomorrow?
Okay.
Have a good day.
Outside, Otis puts a motorcycle helmet on over his curly hair. His father covers his mouth with a bandana, then turns on his motorcycle. Otis waves to people on a passing golf cart. Gets on the bike and holds on to his dad. His dad drives off the studio lot, nearly colliding with two cars. Otis and his dad drive off. An overhead view shows a large freeway interchange. Close glimpses show the father and son on the motorcycle. Along with his bandana and helmet, Otis's dad wears goggles over his glasses. With his face exposed to the wind, Otis glances around. Holds onto his father's torso. Eyes closed, Otis leans his head against him. His dad knocks his helmet against his son's and the boy lifts his head. The curly-haired boy sticks his hand out in the wind. Otis holds up his middle finger. His dad pulls down his bandana.
You good?
Yeah.
He pulls it back up and continues driving. Eyes closed, Otis leans against his father's shoulder. They arrive at a shabby motel. Otis's dad parks the motorcycle in a spot outside a room. The boy takes off his helmet. Later, Otis does a flip as he jumps into a pool. The boy surfaces, then gazes up at the sky. Sunlight glints off the rippling water. The boy dips beneath the surface. In their motel room, Otis sits shirtless, reading a script. A dark-haired neighbor yells at a young woman. Otis's father observes the neighbors.
I didn't have anything else planned.
Rocco! I'm in there!
Hey, give me the call sheet.
Got per diem in there.
Don't touch them, Rocco. Those are my socks.
Otis hands an envelope to his dad. He takes out cash.
You can't give it 10 more minutes?
Motherfucker. They gotta get another washer and dryer in this place, man. It's turning into a nightmare.
Otis urinates in the bathroom. In the doorway, his father lights up a cigarette and looks into the room.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, baby trickle. You got one of them little Jew riblets. Oh, shit. You can thank your mother for that. You got dick like a golf pencil, son.
It's enough to get the job done.
Yeah, the job done. What fucking job are you going to get done?
Girls.
Yeah, girls, yeah, yeah. You couldn't fuck yourself with that thing. You probably got pissed on your own balls just now, didn't you? You got wet balls right now?
I'm 12.
Yeah, well, 12-year-old dick like me when I was 12-year-old dick sound just like this.
His father pees in the toilet.
Wait for it. Hey, you hear that? You hear the depth of that bowl? Man, that's roots, buddy. That's blood. Where'd you come from?
Otis puts his fingers in his mouth.
No, you don't give a fuck.
His dad slaps his hand.
What'd I just say? You don't listen. That's your problem. And you're selfish. I just told you about your family. You're over there just staring at the thing, right? I see you. You concentrate. Concentrate real hard. Be a 12-year-old. Pie fight. Ugh.
It's not a pie fight.
It's not a pie fight? What is it? I know what you're doing. It's clowning, buddy.
It's no, rodeo. It's baby. Not.
It's the same thing as clowning with
no, lion. It's not.
It's not? How do you know? You ain't never been in a fucking rodeo.
Yeah, I have.
Don't lie to me. Who took you to rodeo?
Tom.
Looking annoyed, the bespectacled man stares at his son. The father glances outside.
Tom took you to rodeo?
Yeah.
Of course he did. Where'd you go?
I don't know. It was a rodeo.
So you don't remember? They have clowns at your rodeo? No. You went to Pomona. That ain't even a fucking rodeo. That's a fair. You went to a fair. You come see me in Muskogee, boy? Oof. I'm talking about the rodeo. I'm talking about lights. Shit. Attractions, animals. Did my own face paint, costume. You know, commedia dell'arte. I made them bulls run till I broke every bone in my cultured ass.
It's different, though. I'm not a clown.
It is different. You bet your little dick is different. It's also the same, too, motherfucker. He's in there. Hey, Rocco, didn't I just say? Didn't I just say? Those are my socks. God damn it. Give me the call sheet and get the bag. This motherfucker.
Otis grabs a laundry bag and hands his dad the call sheet.
Thank you. You'll get it after.
They cross the lot.
Hey, Dad?
6 a.m. You gotta go to sleep early tonight.
Yeah, about that. AJ has got me tickets to the Dodgers game, which is really
cool.
Oh,
shit.
Because Nomo's pitching.
That is really cool.
So, you know, he's gonna take me to the game.
Who's pitching?
After set tomorrow. Nomo.
His name is Nomo?
Yeah, Nomo the Tornado.
No shit.
I'm gonna need some of that per diem, you know.
That's a hell of a name, Tornado.
Hot dogs and stuff.
He gives Otis cash.
Oh, yeah. Tornado must strike him out blindfold to that motherfucker, huh?
Yeah, probably.
You know what they call a Japanese blindfold, don't you? Call shit a shoelace.
Otis enters the laundry room. His dad grins at the neighbors.
That shit is funny. You know it is. Come on now.
Dad,
okay,
just, all right.
I was getting ready to lean into another one. You see me coming with it? I was gonna hit it with that something long joke. You know that one?
You know that shit's a funny fuck.
Hey, buddy, hold on now. You gonna break my shit.
I didn't mean to.
Load the fucking bag up. God damn it. Watch where your hands are going, man.
Otis bags clean laundry from the dryer.
So you going to this game with AJ?
Yeah.
Who's driving you?
AJ.
No, 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 no. No. You're going to the game with AJ, but who's driving? Because he's 14 years old, and his parents are in Castaic, so who's driving you to the game?
The father puts his glasses back on.
Tom.
Tom's driving?
Yeah.
They stare at each other.
That's all you got to say to me?
I'm sorry, Dad.
For what?
For lying to you. I just thought you'd get weird, you know?
His dad gently shakes his head, continuing to stare at the boy. Otis resumes collecting their clothing from the dryer. His dad crosses the room and fiddles with the light switch on the wall. Otis looks over at him. His dad opens the door. Otis follows his father outside, carrying the laundry bag. They head across a small stretch of lawn toward their motel room. They enter their room.
Pull out five socks.
Five?
Yeah, you do two. You drop in, you're doing 10 push-ups.
Otis hands three balled-up socks to his dad and keeps two for himself. His dad starts juggling. He tosses one of his socks to Otis and the boy takes a turn.
There you go.
They go back and forth, taking turns juggling with three.
Hey, Dad?
Yeah?
Remember how you said you were going to build me a treehouse?
Well, we never own a tree. You bought me a tree, I'll get to work.
Sorry.
What was that?
I don't...
Pick it up.
Otis picks up the dropped sock. They continue to juggle.
You go to your meeting?
Yeah.
Is it good?
Yeah.
That's good.
Or even.
His dad drops one.
Yeah, it was like 45 years in the room.
Whoa.
Big cakes. Coming up on four myself, you know that, right?
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Otis drops a sock.
All right. Go ahead. 10. Yep.
Otis does push-ups.
You gonna give me cake?
Yeah, if you want one.
You know what else I want?
What?
We'll meet your buddy Tom. Make sure he's not chicken hawk. You hear me?
He's not.
Yeah, but I don't know he's not.
Yeah, but you need to trust me.
Well, you need to trust me. I don't know why I don't get to meet him.
Well, because Mom thinks you get
weird. Yeah, well,
weird,
your mother thinks a lot of things that aren't true. Your mother lives in the fucking space.
She's always been there for me,
yeah,
okay?
She's been there for you, and she's been at the Renaissance Fair. I've been there for you, too. I'm the one that gets you up 4 in the morning. Who's here now?
She's busy. She has a job.
Why is she busy? Why does she have a job?
Otis sits down.
Think it through. Play the tape out. What's your mother got a job for? Huh?
Just in case.
In case what? In case what?
I don't
In case
know.
You fail. In case it don't work out. Yes, man. She's filling your head full of fear. I don't ever do that, do I? Huh? I pump you full of strength. Because we're on a team, and I know you got what it takes. You're a fucking star, and I know it. That's why I'm here. I'm your cheerleader, honey boy. You trust me?
Yeah.
Okay, as a horse trade. I'll give you this pack of cigarettes.
The whole pack?
Whole pack. You bring them in here. You gotta smoke it in the bathroom, though, because I don't want people thinking I'm a shit father.
No one thinks you're a shit father.
No one thinks I'm a shit father?
No.
Your mother thinks I'm a shit father.
That's in
Tom
your head.
Thinks I'm a
That's
shit father. How do you think you get
head?
In the Big Brothers program? Huh? What's the main reason?
There's no main
reason. There is a main reason. Do you know what it is? You gotta have a shit father. Yes, you do. And your mother's advertising what a shit father I am every time you go to your fucking Dodger game, go hang out, paintball, dirt bike, or whatever you're doing. And look, I got 4 years. 4 years is real. You bring him over here, how about this? I'll barbecue for him. It's just a start. It's just planting seeds, you know? Come on, man. You gotta let me in a little bit.
Just a barbecue?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll ask.
Thank you,
I'll ask.
Thank you.
That doesn't mean he's gonna come.
That's all I'm asking you to do.
He rubs Otis's hair.
You want a soda?
Yeah.
The father leaves the room. Otis holds a cigarette in his hand and stares at it. The 12-year-old boy stands and puts it in his mouth and looks around the motel room. Otis tucks the cigarette behind his ear. The skinny, shirtless boy begins folding laundry from the bag. The room's small TV features a chicken. The bird stands on a straw boater hat which sits atop Otis's father's head. He wears clown makeup and a costume.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, performing for you live, without a net, Henrietta LaFalle, world's first daredevil chicken.
Otis's dad turns around and slowly hunches forward. The chicken walks down his back and perches on his butt as he does a headstand.
Henrietta LaFalle! World's first daredevil chicken! Hello!
As a young adult, Otis wakes up in his bedroom at the rehab facility. He lies shirtless with tattoos visible on his chest and upper arm. He looks up and spots the dark-haired man sleeping in the other bed. Otis lies back down. Daytime. Otis jogs on a treadmill, shirtless. The young man starts to run faster. Otis wears an intense expression. Outside, Otis sits on the edge of a swimming pool with his feet in the water. He hunches forward and rubs his head.
Can I get everybody's attention now? We're going to do a small thrust exercise, okay? You're each going to grab your partner.
In the pool, patients work in pairs, helping their partners float.
Good. Now you just switch.
An employee works with a dark-haired man.
Ready, person.
Otis looks away. Inside, Otis sits alone, eating a meal on a ping-pong table. A replica of a marlin hangs on the wall behind him. Knitting needles and yarn rest on the table in front of his plate. Otis pushes the yarn and needles forward slightly. He stares at them, then moves them even further away from him. Chewing his food, he glances around and leans back in his chair. He pushes the yarn and needles again. In the therapist's office, Otis angrily paces.
What is this? What are you trying to do? You can't have me in the fucking room knitting for 2 hours.
How are your suds right now?
70.
Okay, let's bring it down. I want you to name 4 objects and let them bring you to the
door, face, light bulb.
Snap the rubber band with each item.
Shoe, shoe, shoe.
One more.
Door. Fuck, what are you...
He punches something.
Let's try again. Name 4 things and let them bring you back.
Come on, no.
Otis paces. Outside, Otis cleans a chicken coop with a shovel. Percy holds an egg.
Oh, that's disgusting. This one got some shit on it. You know chickens outnumber humans 3-1? You don't want them to take over the world. We gotta do something about this.
Otis stops shoveling briefly.
That's a true fact. You can look it up.
The dark-haired man kisses an egg. Otis resumes shoveling. At night, Otis and Percy lie in their beds with a lamp on. Percy eats and Otis writes in his notebook. Percy tosses a piece of food, hitting Otis near the mouth.
That was close.
Otis sets down his notebook and pen, then eats the food.
You don't pray before you eat?
No, after.
Why?
I'm fucking with you. I don't.
You got me, bitch.
Otis heads into the bathroom. He struggles to shut the sliding door behind him.
There you go. Fucking bang!
He closes it. Otis steps toward the toilet. The short-haired young man looks at himself in the mirror as he urinates. As a 12-year-old boy, Otis lies on his bed in the motel room. He yawns as he wakes up. The curly-haired boy looks over at his dad, who remains asleep. Otis sits up. He pours coffee grounds into a filter. Otis plays with a finger skateboard as the coffee brews. He puts folded-up cash next to a pack of cigarettes. Otis reads a script. Asleep in bed, his father stirs. The curly-haired boy watches him, then turns to the coffee maker. Otis quietly sets down a cup of coffee on the nightstand between their beds. He puts on a jacket. The boy lightly touches his dad's feet as he passes, causing him to stir. Otis leaves the room. His dad wakes up. Sitting up, he grabs the cup of coffee from the nightstand and takes a sip. Sitting outside the room, Otis's dad bends a paperclip with a pair of pliers. A cigarette hangs from his mouth. He looks across the area at the scantily clad young woman who sits on a lawn chair outside a room. Now, he rides his motorcycle up an access road near a freeway. Otis's dad stops at a locked chain-link gate. He picks a padlock using bent paper clips.
Guess I'm here because of my old man. He was a preacher. Bullshitter, basically. Liar, thief.
Otis sits alone in his trailer.
But mainly, he was never there for, me.
His dad plants seeds by the freeway. Later, he sits in an AA meeting as a man speaks.
He was doing his own thing. And I thought, wow, you know, it's good. Cool for him, man. But what about me, you know?
A glimpse shows Otis alone.
Man, nobody's there, so I figured I'd just drink it out, you know?
He shuts his trailer door.
And getting shit-faced worked, you know?
Yeah.
Worked like a charm. It took away that cut-and-dried feeling, you know, for a bit.
Otis smokes a cigarette.
So, you know, I ran with that for a while because, what else was I offered? Church, God, yes. But, it didn't quite work for me, you know.
At the studio, Otis waits for his dad to pick him up.
Man, I thought if God was real, he built me with a question that only I could answer. And that's what you gotta do. You gotta answer that question yourself. You gotta do it yourself. You gotta ultimately save yourself.
What book are you reading, boss?
Look, I know what the book says, but I'm just saying what's honest with me, you know?
It says we came to believe, partner. Why don't you read the fucking book again? Nick, I can't do it no more, man. You guys are gonna keep signing up to this shit, you know? Why don't you sign me up for the fucking Kool-Aid commitment? All you motherfuckers are drinking. Watch out, Jack.
Thanks.
Oh, fuck Jack. This shit, man. Why don't you write your own fucking book, huh?
Hey, you're not alone, brother.
Shut the fuck up.
James leaves.
I needed a fucking meeting today.
At the studio lot.
Hey, you got a ride, Otis?
Yeah, my dad's just over there getting his bike.
You sure? I didn't see him on set today.
Yeah, he was here. Yeah.
Okay, well, good work today.
Oh, thank you.
All right, take it easy.
See ya.
The woman drives away in a golf cart. Otis heads in the opposite direction. By the LA River, James tries to light a cigarette. He angrily tosses his lighter into the water. Patches on his vest read, Combat Veteran, POW-MIA. Nighttime. A close view shows Otis's hand as he clutches his father's hand. They continue to hold hands as they walk together. James pulls his hand away and puts it in his pocket. The father and son approach a food truck.
I'll get it. Chicken tacos.
Can I get four chicken tacos? You got horchata up there?
No.
Just the tacos in.
Okay.
A teen girl recognizes Otis and runs over to a friend.
Holy shit. They recognize you. Shit, sometimes I wish I was you, man.
You do?
Oh, God, yeah. Be famous, have fucking, you know, flashing lights, paparazzi, girls chasing me around. Not like these shit hookers we're living with. I'm talking about quality women, you know? Girls look like they go to school, woman with a strategy, you know? Dolly Parton type woman. Why is that funny? Dolly Parton got her shit together. You know she got her own theme park? You ain't got a fucking theme park.
James grabs the food. Now he sits outside the motel room. He looks across the way as the scantily clad young woman walks over to her lawn chair. James runs his hand over his shoulder-length hair. The young woman sits facing James from a distance. He glances inside his room, then turns his attention back to the young woman. James stands up and gets the woman's attention. He hides his right hand in his jacket sleeve, then feigns confusion. James holds up a finger to indicate he has an idea. He blows on the thumb of his left hand. The young woman nibbles on candy as she watches him. James takes a breath and blows on his thumb again. His right hand pops out of his sleeve, holding a peppermint candy. The young woman shakes her head. watching her. James eats the candy. The young woman leans forward in the lawn chair. James rubs a handbrake on his motorcycle in a suggestive manner. He looks up and finds the young woman gone. James looks to his right. He spots a woman in a wheelchair seated outside a room several doors down from his.
Hey, Ruby.
She gives a small wave. James leans against his motorcycle. Daytime. In a vintage truck, a man drives Otis to the motel.
So, he doesn't really like the making of this program, so just don't bring that up and stuff.
Okay.
If that's okay.
The man parks by the motel room.
Hey, Dad.
Wow.
James regards the truck.
Tom!
How you doing?
I'm good. I'm his father.
It's good to meet you.
Good to meet you. It's a beautiful truck, man.
Thank you.
You do the work on it?
Sure did.
Yeah, pop it. Go ahead. 292, huh?
This is actually the 352. 5.8 liter.
Right. Y blocks are that's the 292.
Yeah, the Y block, the 292, the 272. That was a big engine in the T-Bird.
T-Bird, that's right. Yeah.
And they put it in the F-100, and they upgraded in 65 to this, just the 352 cubic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fucking pretty, man.
Thank you, brother.
Sitting low for 4x4, though, isn't it?
You know, it's the original coil springs on the I-beam.
Well, all 64 trucks had leaf springs in them.
Don't say.
Yeah. Mm. You going swimming, partner?
Yeah, it's hot.
Oh, it's smart. You want to leave that jacket on?
No, I'm good.
Thanks. All right.
They head to the pool area.
You know what that Ford in the back of your truck stands for, don't you?
It's the old man's last name, Henry Ford.
No, sir.
No. Not with
Terry.
No, it stands for found on the road dead. They got a lot of them, man.
They do.
Yeah, they do. So you're working for the, FBI or something? My son says you're in the FBI.
No, it's nothing fun like that. That's a little bit out of my pay grade. I'm a passport specialist.
Okay, what's that? It's,
State Department?
State Department.
Yeah.
What the fuck are you doing over there?
Majored in telecommunications. Half Mexican, so I got an invested interest in fighting discrimination in the city.
That's fantastic. Hey, go get some soda and the ketchup.
He throws keys to Otis.
So you're saying you're an idealist. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
That's cool. Much. I know a little bit about that. Like, don't know where I'm going, but I'm on my way there. Ain't that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, take a seat, man. We got a little bit of time.
James and Tom sit at a table near the grill.
Sun in your eyes?
No.
All right. It was good having you here.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. A lot about you, so.
So, what's your story, Tom?
I'm from Detroit.
Yeah.
I still have both my parents, twin sister. Graduated from Calvin in Grand Rapids.
Otis goes to the laundry room. Inside, the dark-haired neighbor berates the scantily clad young woman.
Get out of my face!
The neighbor leaves. Otis gets a soda can from a vending machine and eyes the slender young woman. She retrieves a pack of cigarettes from under the machine.
Hey, I like your jellies.
Jellies?
Your shoes.
Otis shakes her hand.
I'm Otis. I'll live over there in six.
Shy girl.
Shy girl grips his hand and starts a thumb war. She wins, pinning his thumb down with hers. Otis smiles, then backs away. Shy girl takes out a cigarette but finds it bent. She throws it on the floor. Looking thoughtful, Otis gets another soda can from the vending machine.
Hey, wait here.
So Calvin is a big school, I know that. They got a good basketball program.
They do.
That's an expensive school, isn't it?
I had a little help.
Got to. How the fuck do you swing that, man? Shit, Mexicans come from poverty. Gotta be hard as fuck to get in there. Didn't it?
A lot of hard work.
You had some kind of what? Some Spanish grant or something?
Hey, you good?
I'm good, Otis. Thank you.
Hey, you got the ketchup?
Can I go on the smoke?
Yep.
James gives him a cigarette.
Hang on to your butts.
Otis runs off.
Love that kid.
Hey, he's a good kid.
Yes, sir.
No, I think that's why a Big Brother program is so important, is having one voice that's going to listen to you.
Sure, I bet.
Person is going to be there for you.
I bet.
James sits.
So this father figure.
He was a strong voice, and now I have a chance to pay it forward.
Sure.
Help out when I can.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I appreciate you, Tom. I got to say, man, I do appreciate you. I know my son appreciates you also.
Otis, yeah, he likes you, man. You can see it on his face. Yeah. You know, I bet if you went over there and asked that boy right now who he wants to be when he grows up, he wouldn't say me.
No?
No.
Why's that?
I don't know. What do you say, Utah?
It's not about that for me, James.
What's it about for you?
I mean, it's giving back, letting somebody know you're there for them.
Yeah.
It's being of service.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, I know about that, yeah. Because I do a little bit of service myself. You know, I got about 4 years sober.
That's good.
Is it good?
It's great.
It is great, isn't it?
Yeah. I've seen a lot of lives get ruined.
Oh, have you? Lord. It's tough.
Yeah. I can only imagine.
One day at a time, man. I don't know what you heard about me, Tom, but I know what you haven't heard about me. See, what you haven't heard about me is that if I catch you around my son again in any capacity whatsoever, I'm going to wind up skull-fucking your well-adjusted twin sister's dead corpse on top of your casket until my dick runs through the back of her half-Mexican rain plate. You hear what the fuck I'm saying?
James grabs Tom.
Jack it off, because it's hot as shit.
He throws Tom into the pool.
Get your own fucking kid and your own fucking sandwich, motherfucker.
James throws the bag of buns at him. He walks past Otis, who looks stunned. At rehab, Otis sits by the pool.
All right, everyone find your way into the hug circle. Come on.
Patients gather in the water.
Otis, could you please join us over here?
Looking annoyed, Otis gets in the pool.
We all know what to do in the hug circle, right?
The patients hug themselves.
This is a feeling that you can have anywhere you are. You can always come back here. To this pool. To this circle. To this feeling. Hugging yourself releases the cuddle hormone. Can you feel that? And that's a tool we can use wherever we are.
You can't do this everywhere. Right?
You can, actually.
You can't do this in a car, on the freeway, or in court.
Well, maybe if you used this tool, you wouldn't end up in court.
Isn't hugging yourself like tickling yourself? Like you can't tickle yourself?
Well, my shit feel good. I'm releasing all them hormones.
Percy, you might be too good at this.
It's my fourth time in rehab. And I tried this in court. That's how I ended up here.
Otis smiles. Later.
Hey, Otis.
Percy steps away.
All right, see.
The bearded employee faces Otis.
I have a suggestion. I think maybe you should go out into the woods and scream as loud as you can. Just go out there alone and do that.
You fucking with me?
Let me know how it went.
The bearded man smiles. Otis eyes him, then glances away and nods. At night, Percy and Otis share a cigarette.
They got you doing exposure?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got PTSD.
Get the fuck out of here.
Throwing soldiers and black people got that shit.
I don't know. I guess I just know I'm stuck here, and these people wasting my fucking time. I don't have time for this.
What the fuck you know about time? My cousin got 8 years in prison. 8. They got a nigga in here knitting a motherfucking scarf. Listen to you bitch about time.
Right.
Look at this place. My cousin saw me here beat my motherfucking ass.
Yeah, you should send him a scarf.
What? What I'm gonna say? Hey, stay warm, nigga. I'm in this pool. Hugging myself.
Otis takes a drag from the cigarette and smiles at Percy. Daytime. Inside by the ping pong table, Otis juggles 4 balled up socks. Unraveled yarn covers the table and extends to the floor. Shirtless, Otis skillfully juggles. He drops a ball and crawls under the table to reach it. A chicken startles him. It pecks at the floor near the balled up sock. Otis stares at the chicken with his mouth agape. He carefully reaches over and grabs the sock.
I can't get sober for you, Otis.
At night, Otis wakes in his rehab room. He looks around drowsily. Squinting, he stares toward Percy's bed. Otis lowers his head back onto his pillow. As As a 12-year-old boy, Otis walks through a quiet soundstage. He tosses his backpack beneath a covered craft services table, then crawls beneath it. The boy takes food from a crate and packs it in his backpack. On the access road by the freeway, James tends to his seeds planted among the brush. He wears a bright safety vest resembling a road worker. A sprinkler turns on, spraying the dirt. A close view shows a plant sprouting. At the studio, Otis climbs onto the motorcycle behind his dad. He grips his father's waist and they ride off. Otis shuts his eyes as the wind blows his hair. He looks off and frowns. In the motel room, Otis answers the phone. James takes a bag of chips out of the boy's backpack.
Hey, Ma. How are you? Yeah, I'm good. Thank you.
I was on set, and Mr. Walsh came.
Gary Walsh.
Harry Walsh.
Gary Walsh.
Gary Walsh. I don't know his first name. He asked me if I wanted to be in an MOW, movie of the week. It's shooting in Vancouver, and in a couple of months, and... Oh,
you need to get your passport.
I think so. I think he can go. Hang on, let me ask. She wants to know if you can leave the country.
Why did she ask you that?
Otis listens to the phone.
Well, she said because of your record.
I know because of my record. I'm asking why you're asking a 12-year-old woman. Fuck me, man. You don't fucking get it.
Do you want to talk to her?
No, fuck no, I don't want to talk to her.
No,
not available.
Wanna,
fucking drama, man.
Oh, you did. Oh, yeah, okay. She said she can ask Tom to deal with the passport.
Oh, fucking fantastic. Great, fantastic. Oh, Tom's going to do it? Yeah, Tom fucking do it. Tom do it.
He's definitely not going to come to the phone. Yeah.
Tell Tom to come to the fucking phone. Damn it, where's my lighter at? You just want to push my fucking buttons, girl. Fuck.
Okay. And just repeat it? Okay. I can try.
I have long ago forgiven you, James.
Who are you talking to?
But I'm not the one that had to jump out of a moving car.
Here we go.
So you didn't...
Here we go with this fucking victim shit. She doesn't
here
every
we
time
go
she
with
calls
this
up
fucking
here.
Victim
she
shit.
She goes on and on every time she fucking calls up here. Say it in the phone.
Every fucking time.
Otis listens and imitates his mother.
You were the biggest love of my life.
Well, then treat me better, bitch!
Do you know what I went through?
What? Who? What? Motherfucker. What? I went? What? Who went through? They put me in a fucking box. I didn't even... What is the point of calling up here? Fuck!
James grabs the phone from Otis.
I was always there
God,
for you.
God, get outside. You know what the fuck I do? I put my fucking ass on the line every fucking day. For this boy. For this boy.
Otis goes outside.
Well, that ain't my fault.
Looking upset, Otis glances toward the motel room, then walks away. In a vacant lot, Otis steps on a stick and breaks it. He walks among broken down cars. The boy kicks over a shopping cart of junk. Otis picks up a brick and throws it at the windshield of an abandoned car. The brick hits the glass and slides down it. He throws the brick again and shatters the windshield. Otis uses the stick to break away remaining glass. He holds up a shard and inspects it in the light. Nighttime. A glimpse shows a snake swimming in the motel pool. Otis sniffs his pack of cigarettes. Later, he lies on the hood of a car and smokes. James goes into a meeting hall. He walks around the room greeting fellow AA members.
Hey, fuck off.
How you doing? I'm James. I'm a double winner. My sobriety date is June 4th, 1988. Carlos Naranjo is my sponsor. Moore Park's my home group. Thank you for bringing me in here.
The snake swims through the motel pool. Sitting at the edge, shy girl lightly touches the water. Otis joins her.
My mother, Jocelyn Joy Ginger. She is a writer, a poet. She wrote songs. She wound up an alcoholic working in Shreveport. Lucky Luciano's gambling casino. I met my father there. They were the only ones left at the bar. Sometimes love's like that. Hey, yo.
Otis and Shy Girl watch the snake.
What the fuck is that?
You can walk on water till someone tells you that you don't know how to. You understand? Yeah.
Shy girl looks at Otis.
Hey. You cold?
Yeah, when I was 11, my mother figured that was a good time to tell me she preferred women.
Shy girl holds Otis.
Specifically, this woman was a mean-ass woman and an outrageous alcoholic.
At the meeting.
She beat you over the head till she broke her hand, just keep laying in on you. Just did not give a shit. Do it again the next day. Always remember hand in a cast. Drama. Just drama. You know, mother fell out of a window, landed on a freeway. Major fucking drama. Had alcohol and weed, and I grieved her, and then I joined the army. Because what else? And I came home, spun out. You know, I did so much fucking cocaine, can't breathe out my nose no more. Started shooting into my arm. Just didn't give a shit no more. Drinking every day straight, weeks. Fell into a blackout.
James stares off. He blinks rapidly and fights back tears.
Woke up a sex offender. Said I didn't rape the girl, but I did enough to get her to jump out a moving car. That's where my disease took me. And they took me to Tehachapi, and I stayed there for 3 years, 9 months. Lost a lot. Found a program in jail. Found God in the program. Found page 429 says, those actions that once made you feel completely ashamed and totally discouraged will allow you to share with other people how to be a useful human being.
James nods thoughtfully. He lowers his gaze, then sits up.
Found gratitude in God. Realized I had a son I had to raise. A boy. My boy. Otis.
In the motel, Otis checks his reflection in the bathroom mirror. He turns and goes into the bedroom. Shy girl throws a pillow at him. Giggling, Otis throws it back. They laugh as they toss the pillow back and forth. At the meeting, James stares downward.
Trauma best.
His chin quivers and his tearful expression tenses.
For that kid. But I'm in pain like a motherfucker, man. You know?
James wipes away tears and gazes off. In the motel, Shy Girl holds out her hands with her palms facing up. Otis puts his hands on top of hers. Staring at Otis, Shy Girl turns over her hands and slaps his. She tries again, but he pulls away. As they continue playing, Otis smiles. He stares at Shy Girl. Otis playfully pulls his hands away. Shy Girl gently brings her hand to his cheek and regards the boy warmly. His expression becomes serious. The young woman slowly leans forward, giving him a gentle kiss on the cheek. Shy Girl pulls back, then peers into the boy's eyes. She lowers her gaze. Leaning in, Otis softly kisses her closed eyelid. Shy Girl reaches up and runs her fingertips over the boy's curly hair. Staring at her, Otis takes off his shirt. Lying down, they snuggle together on Otis's bed. He puts his arms around her and she drapes her legs over him. Otis traces his fingertip over her thin gold necklace. Shy Girl grips his hand. face to face, Otis peers into the young woman's eyes. He gets off the bed and takes something out of a drawer in the nightstand. Otis sits on the bed facing Shy Girl. She smiles. He runs his hand down her face and holds her cheek. Otis picks up her hand and holds it open. The boy gives her cash. Otis briefly holds Shy Girl's face in his hands. He gets up and walks away. With her smile gone, Shy Girl looks at the cash. In rehab, Otis sits alone. He looks at a windowed door. Wearing a hoodie outside, he walks through the woods. A tilting view shows tree branches overhead. In the lot with broken-down vehicles, 12-year-old Otis swings a stick aimlessly. In the woods, young adult Otis picks up a walking stick and peers down a path. In the lot, the boy slides his fingertips over the chipped paint of a junk car. In the woods, Otis traces his finger on the rings of a tree stump. As a boy, he stands on the trunk of the junk car and looks around. In the woods, Otis stops walking. 12-year-old Otis continues to stand on the car. The sky glows with early morning light. In the woods, Otis hunches forward. 12-year-old Otis spreads his arms and howls. Young adult Otis screams in the woods. The young man doubles over and rubs his short hair. He paces in the woods, then screams again. In a trailer on set, young Otis plays cards with his dad.
It's not fun if you start cheating, Otis. I know you're sandbagging. I know you're holding jacks and nines. Put a nine down.
If I had something, I'd put it down.
I know what you have. You got a mirror behind you, smart guy. And I'm looking for one of those nines, please.
No can be.
Bullshit.
Jen.
Bullshit.
Otis puts down cards.
No, you did.
Jen.
No, you did not. 50. And you had the six. I knew it, too. I knew you had it. I knew it. I saw it. I saw it on your face. Put it down. 86.
I'm getting better.
Because you're lying.
Learning to lie.
Yeah, well, you lie for a living, poop butt.
We all do.
I don't.
Yeah, you do.
No, sir.
You lie.
I'm telling you, I'm a lot of things. A liar's not one of them, buddy.
Why won't you hold my hand?
James brushes his hair.
Because I don't want people thinking I'm a chicken hawk. Deal of cards. I'm going to get a soda.
At rehab, Otis enters the bearded man's office.
Hey, hey, how's it going? Hey,
Otis.
Thank you for that. That was really amazing. I felt like a demon moved out. That was powerful.
Are you acting right now?
You know, we all are, all the time.
Okay. Are you being sincere right now, or are you mocking me?
Both.
Otis nods. The bearded employee stares at him.
I'm not going anywhere.
Good.
You're not going to wear me out.
I'm not trying.
This is not me judging you.
What is it, then?
It's just me saying, I will see you in class, Otis.
Otis leaves the office, pulling the door shut. The bearded employee follows him.
Otis?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know how to close a door gently?
Yes, of course.
How?
You pull with one hand and you push with the other.
Otis stands close to the employee.
Good.
The patient heads downstairs. In a meeting, the therapist writes in a notepad. A label reads, Dad.
No, I don't. Okay.
Otis paces around.
It's okay to be frustrated.
I don't need to talk about my fucking dad. It doesn't make any sense that I'm... My dad's not the reason I drink. My dad's not the reason I drink. He's the reason I work. He just takes credit for everything in my life that is good. My dad's the kind of guy that takes credit for other people's ideas. Even his AA shares are an amalgamation of other AA shares.
So having your own ideas is key.
Otis rubs his head thoughtfully.
Start writing, Otis.
He wipes his face with his shirt. Otis nods. He walks out of the office. Outside, Otis cleans the chicken coop. A chicken slowly walks down a small wooden ramp.
Buddy, hey, you know what the white spot is? The center of chicken shit.
Wearing gloves, Otis collects a handful of dirt from inside the coop. He sifts the dirt into a bucket and finds a clump of chicken poop. Otis breaks it apart with his gloved fingers. He examines the fecal matter. At dusk, Otis walks through a trailer park. A chicken moves nearby. The young man strolls between the trailers. Otis touches a motorcycle as he moves past it. Otis enters a trailer and picks up a radio.
Just give me a fucking cigarette.
We're gonna keep going till you make me laugh. We're gonna do it all fucking night. Ready?
Give me a fucking cigarette.
You want a cigarette?
Yeah. Do you know I'm doing you a favor? Who else is gonna give a felon a job? I'm not stupid.
Otis walks up to a painting. It features an older man posing with a younger man in front of a city backdrop.
What'd you hear? Thought they were gonna put you away for real this time.
Yeah, that wasn't me.
Oh, it wasn't you?
Nah.
Who was that then?
Otis spots James sitting outside.
You. It's magic. Every single time I drink, you take over.
Oh, yeah? I take over?
Poof.
Yeah? Your dick get bigger too, Peckerwood?
James startles awake as Otis approaches. In bed at the rehab facility, Otis wakes up. He looks around the room. Propping himself up on his elbow, he stares at Percy, who sleeps soundly in his bed. Otis lies back down. He plays with the rubber band around his wrist, then rolls onto his back. Otis sits up in his bed. Daytime. Outside, a close view shows a urine sample cup with Otis's name on the label. Otis sits nearby and writes in his notebook. The young actor looks around. In the garden, Percy and Otis dance on a paved area which features a maze-like design. Later, they lounge in their room. Otis types on a laptop while Percy reads a book. Outside, a ladybug walks up Otis's forearm. He positions his finger near the small bug. The ladybug crawls up his fist. Otis shies back as the insect takes flight. Now, 12-year-old Otis sits with his feet in the motel pool. He holds a cigarette. At the rehab, young adult Otis writes dialogue between him and his dad in his notebook. 12-year-old Otis smokes the cigarette by the pool. The somber boy looks around. James walks alone along the LA riverbank. By the freeway, a sprinkler turns on and sprays water over his marijuana plants. The plants now stand roughly a foot tall. Acting in a scene, young Otis wears a wig with curlers and imitates martial arts moves. He faces an old lady.
What's up now, Doc? You know I could probably kick your butt. You know I'm the funny one.
Behind the camera, James approaches a bald man wearing a headset.
Ready? Quiet!
The man whispers to James.
Well, whose fucking fault is that? I don't care. I'll be the bad guy. I don't give a shit. It's done. That's it. That's it. Come here. Good take, good take. You did it. You did it. Good job, everybody. Let's go. Come here. That's it. No, it's going to take another 20 minutes to get the boy out the costume. We banked 3 hours of school today, Kev. You said it was over 10 minutes ago? It's been 30 minutes. Get the man another watch.
Hey, Dad, I was...
Come here.
I was getting the scene.
Yeah, I don't care. Okay? I don't care. Come here. Come here. Child, let your laws!
James and Otis leave the set. At night, shy girl and the dark-haired older woman sit outside their motel room with friends. Shy girl glances at Otis's motel room across the way. Inside, Otis paces.
Says here that you are the sight gag.
Yeah.
Okay? You see all this workout faces? That's your opportunity. That's where you bring the funny shit, yeah? That's where you flare your nostrils and give me everything you got. Show me. Look.
That's not funny, though.
What's not funny?
The nostril.
I like it a lot. I think it's very funny.
Okay, fine. Okay.
Just try it.
Let's go.
Ready?
Otis does push-ups.
Yeah, come on. Just bend over. See? And you're going to start on the floor after I just
I
said it's a side gag.
It's just for heart rate.
Yeah, but if it's a side gag and I can't see you, how
I'm
the fuck
just
is that
getting
work?
Getting into the... Into, I've just told...
You just told me what?
I just told you, like, I don't need to do it in the scene. It's not going to happen in
Nobody
the scene.
Cares about the fucking heart rate.
I
they
care
wanna
about
see
the
funny
fucking
faces.
Heart rate, okay?
All right, heart rate, man. They want to see funny faces, Otis, but all right, let's go. Ready? Jeff, come on. It's been over an hour. I got a date with Dewey. I got to get in there. I got to do my hair.
Acting goofy, Otis pretends to lift dumbbells.
What if
That's
I
it.
Was doing something stupid in here.
They repeatedly raise their arms.
As opposed to this.
I know you want to hang out with your secret buddies, but I have to...
James goes outside.
Shut the fuck up! I can't think in here. It's 12 midnight. Shut the fuck up. Some of us got jobs. Shut the fuck up! I don't do this shit to you, Deborah. You're having a fucking quinceañera. It's 12 midnight.
What the fuck?
Keep going with this shit. I'll call the meager in a fucking heartbeat. I don't give a fuck.
Worry about your son over there. Worry about yourself.
Looking nervous, Otis holds two of his fingers in his mouth. James returns and Otis quickly moves his hand.
I'm gonna crack in half. I swear to God. This place.
The dark-haired woman knocks on the door.
No. No, Deb. No. Off my door.
All right, I'll do that. I will do that. I not understand that. Well, you got
standing outside the window, shy girl smiles and waves at Otis. He waves back without a smile.
Okay? You don't
I'm not trying to interfere with that.
You knew it was a spot when you moved in here, okay?
Okay.
And it is what it
okay,
is.
Well,
okay?
It is what it is, and it ain't what it fucking ain't, isn't it?
It is.
So why don't you get your silly like, ass back the fuck over there?
Oh, so you acting like you run something?
I'll stop.
Here? She throws a drink at James.
You don't run shit here. You better miss me with that. You don't run a damn thing over here.
Okay.
What?
That's strike one. Damn. That's strike one.
Oh, wait.
Now it's fucking war.
James punches the wall.
Motherfucker. You ready?
Let's take a break.
I don't want to take a break. You
yeah,
got the
let's
scene.
Take a break. I have the scene.
You don't have the scene yet.
I think it's okay. Let's just
yeah, but
end
I don't
it.
Think it's okay. Just, so we're gonna keep going till you make me laugh, or we're gonna do it all fucking night. Ready?
Give me a fucking cigarette.
You want a cigarette?
Yeah.
He flicks a lit cigarette at Otis's head.
There you go. You happy now? There you go, Fauntleroy. Got a fucking cigarette. Go ahead, smoke it.
Otis touches his hair and winces. He puts on a calm expression.
Oh, look at that. You gonna let it burn a hole in the carpet? I don't give a shit. You're paid for it. Do what you want.
The curly-haired boy stares at his father.
Do you know I'm doing you a favor?
You're doing me
by
a favor?
By paying you to be my chaperone.
Wow.
Who else is gonna give a felon a job? I'm not stupid.
I don't like when you talk to me like that. I don't like you talking to me like I work for you,
you
like
do
I'm your
work
mother.
For me, I'm your boss.
You know what? Don't say another fucking word. I'm about to lose my shit right now. You're pushing me over the fucking edge. You understand what I'm saying? I don't have to be here. I could be gone in a second. I could be gone in a second. I could be pulling 8-10 grand
a
week.
You
shut your fucking
here.
Mouth. Didn't I say don't say another fucking word?
I want
James
you.
Pins Otis to the bed.
Shut the fuck up. Didn't I say don't say a fucking word? Say one more word. Say one more
I
word. You
want
to be fucking smart ass with me? Shut the fuck up. Didn't I say that? Huh? Didn't I say that to you?
I want you to be here, Dad.
Now you want me to be here?
Yes.
I can't figure out who the fuck you are, actor man. What the fuck do you want me to be here for? Give me one reason.
You have good instincts.
I have good instincts?
Yeah,
I got
have
rodeo
instincts.
Clown instincts. Well, I could never make it in Hollywood. I like pussy too much.
You could if you started when I did.
And then I could have been a big fucking a champion pie fighter. Huh? Doing fucking push-ups.
James stares firmly at his son. With tears in his eyes, Otis hangs his head.
Wipe your face, Otis. Don't cry in front of me. I'm not gonna ask you again, Otis.
The boy wipes tears off his face. James stares downward.
You keep pushing me.
On a set, Otis wears sunglasses and a fur coat.
Thank you. And the other one?
A butler wipes his hands.
This culinary spread is beautissimus, Jeff.
Well, it's all thanks to Royston.
Thank you, Royston. This is splendid.
In character, Otis mocks the man seated with him. The butler rubs Otis's shoulders.
What has gotten into you, son?
You know what? Here. Here's the keys to the new house. Take that.
Is that what you think this is all about? That I'm leaving because Mommy and I got a second house?
Well, yeah.
Royston, do you mind?
You heard him, Royston.
The butler walks away. Otis takes off his sunglasses and gazes sadly at his scene partner.
So, you're staying?
Of course. Do you really think I would leave you and Royston behind?
I just thought you didn't love us anymore.
I love you, Jeff. I love you more than words can say.
Otis wears an emotional expression.
You feeling all right?
Maintaining his somber demeanor, Otis puts the sunglasses back on. At the motel room, James watches the scene on TV.
Well, this culinary spread is beautissimus, Jeff.
Otis sits outside the doorway. He glances at the TV, then looks at his father.
Thank you, Royston. This is splendid.
The boy wears a thoughtful expression. James continues to stare at the TV. Otis looks in at him.
Dad? I need you to hear me.
The boy continues to stare into the room.
I'm gonna say some things that I gotta say, and I need you to not interrupt me or run off. Okay? I was thinking the other day when we were talking about Tom and the rodeo, and I was thinking what other happy memories I had of you and me, and I swear to God, I've always been waiting for you to act like a real dad. You haven't done that one time.
James stares at the TV. Otis walks up and whispers in his ear.
I've missed you for a long time, Dad.
James turns to him.
I love you, Jeff. I love you more than words can say.
James smiles at his son. The fantasy ends. Otis remains seated at the doorway, now with tears in his eyes.
What?
What?
Otis wipes the tears and tosses a cigarette.
Hey, what's wrong with you? Go pick that up.
Otis grabs the cigarette, then enters the room.
What are you crying about?
I'm not crying.
Otis.
Tom.
Oh, fuck.
He still fixed our passports after you threatened to face fuck his dead family.
Yeah, well,
you're a sex offender.
You know,
he's a federal employee.
Kept pushing it. He's a grown man. He's gonna figure.
Shut the fuck up!
Don't talk to me like that, Otis.
Listen to me and let me talk.
Lower your voice, Otis.
I want you to be a better dad to me, so I want you to promise me. Yeah. Put your pinky out right now, and I want you to promise me that you're gonna be better to me.
I'll be better to you.
This is not a joke. This is not one of your fucking stupid little jokes.
Yeah, what is this, man?
End of our agreement.
Otis sits on his bed.
The end of our agreement.
The boy stares downward.
I'll tell you what, I get it, man. I hear you. You want a better father. Father teaches you lessons and stuff. Yeah? And you deserve one. You do. So, I'm gonna try harder. We're gonna start fresh right here, right now. Lesson number one, all smart guys know. If you can hit your boss once.
James slaps his son.
Then you can hit him twice.
He hits him again. Otis covers his head and swats at his dad.
Don't talk to him like that.
Go away.
Gladly, pal.
James leaves the motel room. James rides off on his motorcycle. A glimpse shows Otis as a young adult rubbing his head as he tears up. At the motel, 12-year-old Otis walks through the parking lot crying. James rides his motorcycle down a street. In the lot with abandoned vehicles, Otis doubles over and wipes his tear-stained face. His His father stares ahead as he rides the motorcycle. In the lot, Otis rocks back and forth as he sobs. Glimpses alternate between Otis as a young adult and as a 12-year-old.
Give me a cigarette, Dad. Not until you get the scene you're gonna make me laugh or we're gonna do this all fucking night. I'm doing you a favor by paying you to be my chaperone. Give me a fucking cigarette, Dad. Whoa, you're doing who a favor? You. Who else is gonna give a felon a job? I'm not stupid. I don't need you to do that.
Otis reads from his written dialogue. The rehab therapist sits nearby.
What are your sets now?
I don't fucking know! I have a fucking number! What's the fucking point of doing this? What's the fucking point of putting a number to it if it's...
So we can track progress.
Well, for fucking who? For fucking who? If it works, I'm gonna know, won't I?
For court.
Otis slides down the wall to a seated position. He shakes his head.
80.
He slaps his fist. The therapist takes a note.
Let's bring it down.
Oh, my God. Cactus, window, carpet, pen.
One more.
You're a ridiculous person. You know that, right? You think you're fucking smart because you got me to act for you? I've been doing this shit my whole fucking life for a living. I would know if it works. This is all bullshit. How am I supposed to have therapy with my probation officer?
Name one more thing.
You.
His expression calms. The therapist offers a faint smile.
The only thing my father gave me that was of any value is pain. And you want to take that away?
Can I?
Otis gazes off.
I found peace.
In the lot near the motel, shy girl walks up behind 12-year-old Otis. She wraps her sheer nightgown around his face and head, then lowers beside him. Shy girl slowly uncovers his face and Otis hugs her. At a strip club, James enters and goes to the bar. Pink and purple neon lights glow throughout the establishment. James steps away from the bar with a drink in hand. He sips the clear carbonated beverage. James watches as a dancer on stage leans close to him. James stares intently. The dancer picks up cash from the stage. Fidgeting in his seat, James looks around the room. He discreetly gives the dancer cash and she hands him a small bundle. Bathed in the neon glow, James goes down a hall. He comes to a door labeled, Employees Only. Otis and Shy Girl dance in the lot near the motel pool. The boy mimes picking up a ball, then tossing and catching it. Shy Girl watches him. Otis offers the imaginary ball to her and she pretends to take it from him. Smiling, the boy steps back and motions for her to move further away. Shy Girl complies. Otis mimes taking out a baseball bat and waving it. He indicates for her to throw the imaginary ball. Shy Girl mimes a toss. Otis looks at the ground, pretending as if the ball landed short. He shrugs at her, then mimes picking up the ball and giving it back. Shy Girl winds up and throws. Swinging his imaginary bat, Otis pretends to get hit by the ball and falls. In the strip club bathroom, James pours a canned drink down the sink. He regards his reflection with tears running down his face. James holds a piece of the aluminum can with blue powder sitting on top. He ignites his lighter under it and inhales the smoke. James wipes his nose and stumbles against the wall. He shuts his eyes. The sink nearly overflows as the faucet continues to pour. In the lot, Otis remains on the ground with his eyes shut. Shy Girl rubs her hands together, then blows onto them. She waggles her fingers over Otis, who pretends to be reanimated. Moving stiffly, the boy gets to his feet. Otis looks down at his body. Shy Girl mimes pitching the ball, and Otis swings his imaginary bat. They stare off, pretending to watch the ball soar away. The friends hug. Shy girl dances and Otis pumps his fist victoriously. Now Otis dives into the pool and kicks off the bottom. At the strip club, James sits before a dancer. Barely conscious, he leans his head to the side. In the motel pool, Otis swims around underwater. At the strip club, James sits by a stage, asleep in his chair. In the morning, James arrives at the motel on his motorcycle. In bed with Shy Girl, Otis wakes and sits up. Looking panicked, the boy hurries into the bathroom. James rolls into a bush as he parks the motorcycle. He clumsily dismounts. Inside, Otis moves items on the floor. Shy Girl quickly makes the bed. Outside, James takes off his goggles. The dark-haired woman and her friend watch him. James takes off his helmet and drops it as he tries to unlock the door. He stoops to pick it up. Inside, Otis looks anxious. James manages to get the door open, then enters. He spots Shy Girl, who ties her robe. Otis sits in the bathroom.
What are you doing?
Looking after your son.
Otis? Otis, you fucked my son.
You fuck your son.
Get out of the fucking room.
Shy Girl slaps him and he falls. She leaves. James lies on the floor. Otis exits the bathroom.
Get my glasses.
The boy obeys. His father gets up.
Can you fuck that woman?
She's just friendly.
She's just friendly? She don't give a friendly fuck about you. She don't give... You think she gives a friendly fuck about a victim?
I'm not a victim.
No? You are a victim. You're 12 fucking years old, man. What do you think the fuck it is?
James sits on his bed.
I love her.
Ooh. Fuck you, you love her.
I do.
James hurries to the bathroom and vomits in the toilet. Ooh.
Love sells diapers, pal.
She holds my hand. You slap me in the face.
Well, I'm your father. You can't buy that shit.
Yes, you can. I do.
Don't fucking push me now.
I'm not scared of you.
Don't I know?
James sits on the toilet.
Fuck this shit.
Otis sits on the floor against his bed.
I don't want to be here no more.
Can't leave.
I can do what the fuck I want. I'm an adult. You can't leave.
Fine. Take me with you.
Fuck off. Call Tom. Get him to fucking pick up some applesauce. Go fucking camping, man.
Let me in, Dad.
Fuck off. You're in. You're so fucking in. You made it. Hey-o! I never could. Fucking congratulations. Good on you, honey boy.
James hunches forward.
None of it's real, though.
Yeah, well, there it is there, isn't it? None of it's real. It's more valuable that way. That's my fucking advice. That's my advice. Yes, my fatherly advice. You picking up on that?
James glances toward his son, then stares downward.
Chase the bullshit forever, man.
Mom says
your brother says a whole fucking lot of shit, your mother. It's naive. Real world. Truth is, wood fucking rots, man. You know, stone crumbles. People fucking die. That's the real world. The only thing it's going to live on is stories, fables, and dreams.
I don't understand.
James picks up a glass of water.
You're 12 fucking years old.
He takes a sip.
I want to understand. I want stories.
I know.
Well, you get stories every week. Pull them out the fucking envelope. You don't need me for stories. You make your own stories.
The haggard-looking man continues to keep his gaze averted.
How do you think it feels for me to have my son talk to me the way that you talk to me? Have my son paying me?
He turns to look at Otis.
How do you think that feels?
The boy stares back sadly.
You wouldn't be here if I didn't pay you.
His eyes filling with tears, James turns away and hangs his head. He remains seated on the toilet. James's face contorts as he weeps. Otis watches his father cry. James takes off his glasses and wipes his face. He looks at Otis. He puts his glasses on the toilet tank and takes out a pack of cigarettes. Otis gets up and grabs a cigarette from his own pack. The boy returns to his spot on the floor, leaning against the bed. He and his father both light their cigarettes.
Horse trade. You stop putting me down. You stop, you know, shitting on me and bringing up the past. I can't get out from under it. And I'll teach you what I know. I'll give you what I have.
Okay. Deal.
James holds up his pinky. Otis moves closer and hooks it with his own. They kiss their own hands, then pull apart. Otis sits back against the bed.
It's no quick fix.
At rehab, young adult Otis walks outside.
But you can start from here.
He notices a chicken on the leaf-strewn tennis court. Otis walks toward it.
You need to get rid of what doesn't work, Otis.
At the motel, James remains seated on the toilet. He exhales, then continues talking with the young Otis.
I'm growing, son.
I know, I see it.
No, fuck you, you see it. I'm growing marijuana on the side of the freeway. Sensing me on the one.
A glimpse shows adult Otis following the chicken.
What?
What if they catch you again?
Who's they?
The police, the city.
The city, they're watering it for me. There's no tail. His crop works. I'm gonna plant no fucking freeway. You and me are gonna build a treehouse on a fucking moon.
Otis regards his father.
Trust me, honey boy, I'm your father.
James winks. Otis gives a wry grin. Now they ride together on the motorcycle. The boy shuts his eyes and feels the wind on his face. As a young adult, Otis follows the chicken.
You know, the older you get, you learn a couple things about life. You get to know what you come from. Now, what you come from is you come from a line of alcoholics, son.
By the freeway, James brings Otis to his tall marijuana plants growing among the other brush.
Look behind me, and I'll promise you a treehouse. I'm a man of my word, is what I am. Don't be shy. There you go. Get in there. It's yours.
Otis feels the plants.
A long line of good people who were hurting and didn't know what the fuck to do. So they drank a lot.
As a young adult, Otis follows the chicken down a sidewalk.
Every single one of us got a grudge. Every single one of us got somebody that fucked us over.
James sits by the LA River and wipes his eyes. At night, still following the chicken, young adult Otis arrives at the shabby motel.
And I know you got one. And you gotta lay the grudge down. Or it's gonna fucking kill you.
Sitting outside her room, Ruby waves at Otis.
Hey, Ruby.
The young man stops at the open doorway to his old motel room. Wearing his rodeo clown makeup and costume, James gets off his bed and steps outside, He smiles and waves at Otis. Otis stares with his brow furrowed. By the freeway, young Otis walks away from the marijuana plants. At the motel, James sniffs his hand and mimes being repulsed. By the freeway, young Otis sits with his father. At the motel, James mimes spritzing himself with perfume. By the freeway, James lights a joint. Young Otis smokes it. At the motel, James beckons adult Otis.
You know, a seed has to totally destroy itself to become a flower. That's a violent act, young boy.
Otis steps toward his father, who continues his clown act. By the freeway, James hugs his young son. The boy wears a peaceful smile. At the motel, adult Otis and his costume-clad father also hug. Eyes closed, 12-year-old Otis grins in his father's arms. At the motel pool, James sits with his red shoes in the water. Otis soaks his bare feet.
Nobody's mad at me anymore.
That's all I ever wanted.
James nods. Otis crosses his arms and grins. The chicken walks by.
You'll get there too.
James gives Otis a joint. The young man takes a hit.
I want to make a movie about you.
You're making a movie about me?
Otis nods. Looking down, Otis nods. He smokes the joint. On the motorcycle, Otis drives with James sitting behind him. The father holds onto his son and leans his head against his back. Streetlights shine over them as they ride past. Otis gazes forward with a solemn expression. With his father no longer there, Otis drives the motorcycle alone. The young man gazes ahead and smiles. Fade to black. Images show Otis and James's real-life counterparts, Shia LaBeouf and his father. Directed by Alma Harrell. Wearing clown makeup and a costume, Shia's dad does a headstand with a chicken perched on his butt. Written by Shia LaBeouf, the chicken perches atop a pole which Shia's dad balances on his chin. Produced by Brian Kavanaugh Jones, PGA, Daniela Taplin Lundberg, PGA, Anita Gao. Produced by Christopher Leggett, PGA, Alma Harrell, PGA. Executive producers Fred Berger, Raphael Marmor. Young Shia LaBeouf sits on a motorcycle. Executive producers Daniel Crown, Bill Benenson. Director of photography Natasha Breyer, ASC, ADF. Production designer JC Molina. An image shows his dad smiling in clown makeup. Costume designer Natalie O'Brien. Edited by Monica Salazar, Dominic LaPerriere. Music by Alex Somers. VFX supervisor Martin Carlson. Posing together, Shia's parents both wear clown makeup. Casting by Chelsea Ellis Block, John Papsidera, CSA, Jennifer Venditti. Adolescent Shia holds up his middle finger. Shia LaBeouf, Lucas Hedges. As a boy, Shia poses with his father, Noah Jupe, Natasha Lyonne. Martin Starr. An image shows adolescent Shia LaBeouf with short curly hair. Byron Bowers. Clifton Collins Jr. Micah Monroe. With Laura San Giacomo. And FKA Twigs. Wearing his clown costume, Shia's dad hangs onto a pole and smiles. And introducing Henrietta LaFau, world's first daredevil chicken. At the motel, 12-year-old Otis sits shirtless on the motorcycle. He opens his eyes and stares peacefully at us. Otis smiles.
do is baby be friends with you.
Honey boy. A film by Alma Harrell. Credits roll. Unit Production Manager David Grace. First Assistant Director Sean Vodder. Second Assistant Director Colin Flaherty. Co-producers Anthony Brandinicio, Rebecca Camarada. Associate Producer Yoni Liebling. In association with Belladonna Productions, Inc. Co-Executive Producer Linda Moran. Cast Shia LaBeouf as James. Lucas Hedges as Otis, 22. Noah Jupe as Otis, 12. Byron Bowers as Percy. Laura San Giacomo as Dr. Moreno. FKA Twigs as Shy Girl. Natasha Leone as Mom. Micah Monroe as Sandra. Clifton Collins Jr. as Tom. Mario Ponce as Tiny. Martin Starr as Alec. Haley Sanchez as Working Girl 1. Giovanni Lopez as Rehab Nurse. Dorian Pham as Pam. Greta Young as AD. Craig Stark as Craig. Graham Clark as TV Dad. Kevin Dunnigan as Cop. Carlos Rosendo as Carlos. Liana Chavez as Working Girl 2. Paulina Bugembi as Person in Car. Ben McAbee as Loud Man. Charla Savino as Loud Woman. Deborah Jones as Mama DJ. Isabel Wang as Otis's Fan. Stunt coordinator Rob King. Stunt performers Chris King, Kelly Barksdale, Christian Lambert, Juliana Potter, Amanda Hall, Dennis Kiefer, Gary Himes, Sierra Hoyle, Gabriel Nunez, Mario Perez. Stunt riggers Craig Jensen, Mike Washlake, Sean Christopher, Jean-Paul Ruggiero, G. Grant Jewett. Stunt drivers Cole McKay, Merritt Yonka, Mick Cassidy. Crew: Supervising Sound Editor Brent Kaiser, Sound Designer Andrew Twite, Assistant Art Director Zach Faust, Music Supervisor Andrew Kahn, Production Supervisor Sabrina Ballard, A Camera Operator Matthias Mesa, First Assistant A Camera Eric Gench, Second Assistant A Camera Brandon Sejner, Edgar Gonzalez, B Camera Operator Valentine Marvel, Thomas Tietch, First Assistant B Camera Hector Rodriguez, Joseph Cannon, Second Assistant B Camera Vic Derudere, Steadicam Operator Eric Fletcher, Technocrane Operator Paul Vaught, Phantom Tech Patrick McGraw, Oculus Head Tech Dustin Evans, Simon Shin, Underwater Tech Dave Donald, Digital Imaging Technician Ernesto Hoven, Digital Utility Vic Derudere, Amanda Petrone, Video Playback Jared Butler, Jacobus Boss. Songs: My Struggles, performed by Missy Elliott featuring Mary J. Blige and Grand Puba. I Wish, performed by Skilo. Medicina, performed by Kid Power Posse. Tonya Co. Hush 2 How Hush, performed by New Morse Code. Glimpses, performed by Alex Ebert. Kapow, performed by Ryan Bullet Shields. Ideal World, performed by Ryan Bullet Shields. All I Really Want to Do, performed by Bob Dylan. This film is fictional. The characters, incidents, actions, locations, and dialogue portrayed in this film have been fictionalized or invented solely for purposes of dramatization and are not intended to reflect any actual person, living or dead. This motion picture is protected under the laws of the United States and other countries. Unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution. Copyright 2019 Honey Boy LLC, all rights reserved. This film has been described by the Media Access Group at WGBH. Amazon Studios.